Today we'll be reading from the 11th canto, chapter 3, text 32. Chapter 3 is titled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Maharaj Jimmy has asked a few questions to the Navayoganas. One of the questions which he asked them is, how do we transcend the illusory material energy? And whatever verses are flowing now are basically answers to that question. So we are at somewhere near the very end of the latest question that has been asked. And next verse, that is text 33, is the ending of one sequence of conversations. And again, from text 34 onwards, there's one more sequence which begins. So today we'll talk from text 32.
Ache trudan cha chuta chintaya kache.
Ache trudan cha chuta chintaya kache.
Dasanti nandanti vadantya lau.
Dasanti
nandanti vadanti lokika.
Dasanti gayanti anusilayanti
ja. Bhavanti tusnim paramethya nirvritah.
Bhavanti tusnim paramethya nirvritah.
Kwachit. Sometimes. Sudanti.
Sudanti.
Vikraya.
Achyuta
of the infallible Supreme Lord.
Chintaya
by the thought.
Kvachit
sometimes.
Hasanti.
They laugh.
Nandanti.
Take great pleasure.
Vadanti.
Speak. Alaukika.
Acting amazingly.
Nrityanti. They dance.
Gayanti.
Sing.
Anupilayanti.
And imitate.
Jam.
The unborn.
Bhavanti.
They become.
Tusnim.
Silent.
Param.
The Supreme.
Etya.
Obtaining.
Nirvritah.
Free from distress. Translation. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out his pastimes. This is a very important line here. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out his pastimes. The important part here is, having transcended material conditioned life, then sometimes they imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out his pastimes. And sometimes, achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilita Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadamayam Tadati Svapanasikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Gunatamitam Kamam Kajam.
జీవనం
సాశ్వతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం
శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పదా
సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తే
సప్తకాంచనాగోహి రాధే రాధేశ్వరి
ఋషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరూపిణశ్చ కృపాసింధురూపేణ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః
జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైతారాధ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ హరే హరే
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn supreme by acting out his pastimes, and sometimes achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has explained the symptoms of love of Godhead. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has explained the symptoms of love of Godhead. These are the symptoms of prema bhakti, love of Godhead. One is rudanti. The devotee, they cry, thinking, another day has passed and still I could not obtain Krishna. Then what will I do? Where will I go? From whom shall I inquire? And who can possibly help me reach Krishna? In that mood they are crying. Then hasanti. It is late at night and the sky is dark. There is a context which is given. It is late at night, the sky is dark, and Krishna is determined to steal from the house of one of the elderly gopis. He is hiding underneath a tree in the corner of the courtyard belonging to one of the cowherd men. Although Krishna thinks that he is completely concealed, he suddenly hears a voice from one of the elderly members of the family. Who are you there? Who are you? I say. Thus, Krishna has been caught and he begins to flee the courtyard. When this humorous scene is revealed to the devotee begins to laugh heartily. Why are we not laughing? The answer is, will be there. Dandanti. When Krishna actually reveals his transcendental form to the devotee experiences the highest transcendental bliss. Vadanti, the devotee says to the Lord, O Krishna, after so many days, I have finally achieved you. When all of the devotee's senses are absorbed in Sri Krishna, the devotee has successfully transcended the material condition of life. This is indicated by the word Alaukikara. Alaukikara, or the transcendental platform, is explained by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. Mamcha yogi vicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samasityaitam, brahma bhujaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. I am not reading the entire purport, it's very long. But the essence of this verse is that this verse talks about the ecstatic symptoms when one attains what is called as prema bhakti,
or love of Godhead. There are various cases, bhaktis, which are enunciated in the Madhurya Kalami, starting from Shraddha to Prema. We will touch upon some of those in today's class. But this verse specifically talks about the last stage of bhakti. Whatever is happening here is the symptoms of Prema Bhakti, also called as the stage of Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva, pure transcendental mode of goodness. In Nectar of Devotion, there are two kinds of bhakti which is mentioned. One is called as two kinds of sadhana bhakti. One is the Vairi Sadhana Bhakti and one is the Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Vairi Sadhana Bhakti is that bhakti where one becomes God-fearing. One is God-fearing. And Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is when we become God-loving. That is the basic difference. God-fearing versus God-loving. So, fear of God is the initial stage. And how is the fear of God manifest for us? The fear of God is manifest for us through fear of the rules and regulations and injunctions of the scriptures. In the very, very neophyte stage, in devotional life, one is very afraid of God, saying that, if you do wrong, then God will come on a horse, and and then chop your neck off in Kalki Avatar. Therefore, let's pray to the Lord. We have such opinion about God, saying that if you do anything wrong, He is going to come and punish us. And then eventually when we come to bhakti also, still we have certain fear about God. The fear completely doesn't go away. Because our mind has a tendency to delve into maya. And then we are worried, if I go into this, maybe, I will get some chastisement. Right? Sometimes, if I marry a non-devotee girl, then what will happen? Krishna will teach me a proper lesson tomorrow. Like that. We are so very worried about this. Right? So fear of scriptural rules and injections and the laws of nature, we are always driven by that, even when we take to devotional life. So that initial stage is called as Vairi Sadhana Bhakti, where we do things more out of fear. And Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is the bhakti which is happening spontaneously, where there is no fear, it just comes out of love. And the culmination of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is the Ragatmika Bhava. Raganuga sadhana is also a sadhana, it's not an end. But Raganuga sadhana will lead to Ragatmika. Ragatmika means pure, unalloyed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse talks about those people who are on that platform. And it talks about the ecstatic symptoms which manifest. So we were in one of the Bhakti Viksha programs. One member came and asked, and this member got a CD for everyone, from Vrindavan, and started distributing in the Bhakti Viksha program. Actually, this member didn't start distributing. The person was going to distribute. So fortunately, she asked the self-servant leader, whoever is there, I have got these CDs, Prabhuji. Can I please distribute these CDs in the Bhakti Viksha program? So when the self-servant saw this CD, it mentioned some Thakur something, somebody's name was there. And then next day morning this person, called me up and told me that this is what happened in my Bhakti Viksha program. So I told this person that, I don't know who this person is, let me hang on. So when this person told the member that, let's hang on to this person, let us know whether he is bona fide or not, she told him, but Prabhu, whole Vrindavan is listening to this person. I have seen him on television. Whenever he comes on television, whenever he starts singing kirtan, tears are flowing from his eyes like that. And he starts swinging his head like this. So it's very, very impressive, Prabhu. Pure devotee, Prabhu. Let us, And in front of all the media, he's crying and the people behind him are also crying like that. So immediately we come to know that the cassette should not be, that TV should not be heard. From this very simple example, we come to know that we should avoid the CD. Of course, we have to tell it to this person in a very different manner, because otherwise she would feel offended. So, in the neophyte stage, one is not able to distinguish what is the symptom of real prema bhakti, which is here, and what is the, who is a sahajiya. A sahajiya is a person who is imitating these symptoms prematurely. Coming in front of the Lord and, oh my Lord, and then crying, and then, you know, after finishing to cry, you know, person is watching. Has anyone seen me crying here in this room? Okay, so that they will know that I am so elevated. Okay, so this is the symptom of Sahajya Bhava. This is not coming from love for Krishna. This is coming from the desire to be in the center of things. And this comes many times. Even when one is knowing the philosophy, still because the mind is the mind is the mind, sometimes still this happens. So it's not that there is a set of people called as Sahajiyas. Not like that. But this Sahajiyism is an anartha which is inside even practicing Vaidhi devotees. So all of us have to think whether we have this bhava within ourselves and interest. So this is talking about the symptom of pure devotion, and it should not be imitated prematurely. That's why in this verse there is a very important line which says, such devotees, comma, having transcended material conditioned life, then they imitate the unborn supreme. That word is very important. Having transcended material life. So prematurely we cannot. Prematurely if the symptoms are coming, that means it's a sign of self-deception or the desire to cheat others. Like in Prabhupada says in Ishvapanishad, there are four defects we have. Making mistakes, cheating propensity. So this is the cheating propensity. Now, when I was told by Nandamundir Prabhu yesterday evening that I had to lecture on this verse, I was totally shocked. This verse is too high for me to lecture. So I asked him, can I talk about the next verse please? Because I wanted to come out of this verse. This is a very, very difficult verse, and it really, you know, should be heard from someone who is like Devamrita Swami or Jayapataka Maharaj, someone or Gurujan Prabhu. If they talk about this verse, it makes some sense. I have absolutely no qualifications to talk about this verse, but because it's my duty to do this, so I'll make some attempt. But I saw, I see a benefit in seeing this verse in conjunction with the next verse. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to, you know, talk about both these verses and relate them. And actually they are related because they are coming in a logical flow. So the next verse, which is text 33, the translation of that, okay, the verse is Iti Bhagavatam Dharman Siksham Bhaktya Tat Uthaya Narayana Paro Mayam Anjas Tarati Duskaram. The translation is, thus, learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to this stage. Thus, learning the science of devotional service, one, and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead and manifests these symptoms. And by complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the devotee easily crosses over the illusory energy, Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. This is relatively, you know, easy. Relatively. Thus, learning the science of devotional service, that is one, and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead, and by complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the devotee easily crosses over the illusionary energy Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. So, it is good that to talk about this verse, and we will hear it hopefully from a very senior Vaishnava who can explain the details of these ecstatic symptoms. Personally, I have none of these symptoms, and it's very difficult for me to talk anything out of my realization. So therefore, what we will attempt to do in this class is to see, in order to reach this stage, how does one go about getting the adhikar or the qualification to reach this stage? Because that process is something which the senior devotees have taught us. So therefore, we may have some leeway to talk about that in this forum. So this very next verse, it talks about the process by which one gets this qualification to enter this mood. So essentially it says, as I said in this verse, one has to transcend material conditioned life in order to attain the ecstatic symptoms. Which means essentially that one should have no desire whatsoever for bhukti or for mukti. Otherwise this will not manifest. If we have a desire for sense enjoyment, and at that time it is manifest, that is a symptom of rahajiya bhava. There has to be absolutely no trace of material sense enjoyment. Ahai dukhi apratiyata. No desire. No, totally our devotion has to be uninterrupted and unmotivated by any personal desires, or we should not have any vested interest in doing devotion. Only then this will manifest. But as long as we have this desire for sense gratification or liberation, then we don't have the adhikar for this. Basically, the conditioned soul is subject to what is called as the aham mameti anartha. Rupad writes, aham mameti. Rupad says, aham means I and mameti means mind. So there are two versions of aham mameti. One is the aham mameti in the conditioned state, and one is the aham mameti in the liberated state. The conditioned state, aham mameti, means I am this body. And mameti means everything belongs to me, and whatever is there is for my sense enjoyment. I am the center of things. So that is called as the false aham mameti. And then true aham mameti is that I am eternal servant of Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. That is called as aham, true aham mameti. So today we'll talk about how one migrates from the false aham mameti to the true aham mameti. And once one migrates to the true Ahamameti, then one can realize this, one gets the adhikar for realizing the ecstatic symptoms. So I have forwarded few papers, I think Madhav Prabhu and Pravadana Prabhu must have given to you, right? So these verses which are there, these four verses, they are the most important verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. These are called as the Chatushloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chatushloki, like Bhagavad Gita also we have Chatushloki. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Desham Prasvaitanam. So like that here we have the equivalent Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, these are the original four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, based on which the entire 18,000 verses are an expansion of these four verses. The reason we should know about these verses is, if we don't understand these four verses, then it is very difficult for one to understand this, how to reach this stage of ecstatic symptoms, how to understand this. So, I was reading the translation to the next verse. This is verse number 32. So I was reading the translation to 33, which talked about how to reach this stage. Over there, if you remember, I had read, thus, learning the science of devotional service, one, learning signs of devotional service and practically engaging in devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead. So there are two components. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions this in the verse before this Chatushloki. If you see, Chatushloki starts with verse 33. So I am talking about the verse before that, 31, 32. So over there, these two components are explained. One is called as jnana and one is called as vijnana. In order to come to this stage, one needs to have jnana and one needs to have vijnana. Jnana means knowledge, which is what is mentioned here. Thus, learning the science of devotional service, which is called as jnana, or the knowledge about devotional service, and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. That is called as vijnana. So, jnana means knowledge and vijnana means realization through knowledge, or what is popularly called as Shastra Chakshu. If many of you who are doing the Bhakti Shastri course, you would have done the 12 aims of Shastri study. And the last one out of that is called as Shastra Chakshu, or realization. Right? So this is what is mentioned here, Jnana and Vijnana. So this is explained, this is elaborated, this concept of Jnana and Vijnana is elaborated in this 33 to 36 verse. The context of these verses which you see on your sheet of paper is that Sukadeva Goswami is narrating to Maharaj Parikshit about the pastimes which happened between Lord Brahma and Lord Narayana, Lord Krishna, at the beginning of creation. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the Lord as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, has descended down into the universe, and out of his navel there is a stem which appears, within which there are 14 planetary systems, and then Lord Brahma has appeared on the top of the stem. So the Lord at this stage has already done the work of primary creation, which is called as Sarga. And now the process of secondary creation, which is called as Visarga, is going to begin. Now Lord Brahma is sitting there, and everywhere around him is complete darkness. So he doesn't know what to do. He has no direction of how to use the elements which the Lord has provided. The Lord provided the primeval cosmic substance called as Pradhan. And then he impregnated that Pradhan with his glands, which is called as Mahatattva. Right. Now all these ingredients for creation of the body is made up of what? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So all the original ingredients are already available now. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has already come with all that. But Brahma doesn't know how to utilize that. As I was giving an example in one of the classes last week, I am known for my lack of culinary skills. I am a big zero when it comes to the kitchen. So even at home, I never dare to go to the kitchen and cook anything. Otherwise probably my wife will leave home very next day if I attempt anything like that. So even if she is able to give me the idli batter or dosa batter, okay, and gives all the ingredients to me, because I don't know how to make dosa or idli, it will never result in a dosa or idli coming out. Right? There will only remain at the ingredient stage. Because I don't know what to do with those ingredients. So Lord Brahma is in a similar situation here, wherein Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has given him all the ingredients. Mahapradhan, Mahatattva, everything is ready. All the 24 elements, but he doesn't know how to convert these into integrating the body with you and I, the body of a horse, the body of a tiger. He doesn't know how to do that. So he's completely bewildered and he's sitting all alone and he doesn't even know who is there and who is going to tell me all these things. Right? He doesn't know his purpose also. Why is he sitting there on the lotus flower? So he's sitting alone and everywhere is dark. So he says, I must find something now. I must find somebody who has put me here. So he travels down the lotus stem for thousands of years, the lotus stem, and then what happens? He tries to find the origin and he cannot get the origin. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that by the process of astral travel or by inventing rockets, one cannot trace the Supreme Personality of Godhead by going to space and sending some Sputnik, Prabhupada says. So this is not a process for finding God. So therefore, Lord Brahma is frustrated in this attempt. He comes back and sits on the lotus flower. And as he comes back, frustrated with his mechanical attempt at understanding God, at that time, Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu gives him the word tapa. 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 Tapa means what? Penance and austerity. So the Lord indicates to, Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu indicates to Lord Brahma that the process of understanding Lord is by penance and by austerity. So Lord Brahma is an elevated devotee. This is the first time it is happening. So he immediately accepts. He doesn't start questioning, why tapa? Why not something else? Like when we preach sometimes, why you are telling us to chant him? So Lord Brahma immediately starts this process of tapa and does it for 1000 celestial years. And at the end of it, the Lord appears and reveal Vaikuntha to Lord Brahma. When the Lord appears thus, after the process of penance, Lord Brahma asks him 4 questions. And the answers to these 4 questions form the basis of all philosophy in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is this Chatushtha. The Lord gives him 3 concepts which are very important for us to reach this prema bhakti stage. First is, the Lord gives him sambandha jnana. Number 2, Lord gives him abhideya jnana. Number 3, the Lord gives him prayojana jnana. Sambandha jnana means, who am I and what is my relationship with the Supreme. Abhideya jnana is, what is the process of attaining love of God. And prayojana is what happens at the end of this whole process. What do I get at the end of the day? That is prayojana or the goal. So these 4 verses which are in front of you are answers to those questions of Lord Brahma which he asked, which are, the first question he asked Lord is, please explain to me your forms. You appear in so many forms. Sometimes you appear as Varaha, sometimes you appear like this, sometimes you appear like that. I'm not able to understand. Sometimes you come as a mundane, as an ordinary human being. Please explain these forms to me. Please explain your various energies. That's the second question. The third question is, please explain the interplay of these energies. How do you play around with your energies? And the fourth question is, okay, now you have put me on this lotus stem so that I do something with the ingredients which you have provided for creation. Please explain to me the right mood with which I should go about doing this job. These are four questions which he asks. If you want more details about these questions, you can go and read the commentary of Urijan Prabhu from the book Unveiling the Lotus Feet. Urijan Prabhu has given very nice explanation for all this. Okay, so the verse before this Chatushloki is very important, and it lays the foundation for this Chatushloki, where the Lord is answering these four questions. So the first answer which the Lord gives is, Jnanam Parama Guhyam Me Yat Vijnanam Samanvitam Sahasrasyam Tad Angam Cha Grihana Kaditam Maya. So it is here that Lord Krishna is explaining to Brahmaji about Jnanam Parama Guhyam Me Yat Vijnanam Samanvitam. So Lord is talking about jnana and vijnana, which is mentioned in text 33. Learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging it in the devotional service of the Lord. So the Lord is essentially telling Lord Brahma that knowledge about me, which is mentioned in the scriptures, is confidential. And it can only be realized by devotional service. Simply by reading the scripture, one will not understand it. You'll get some idea, some knowledge you get. But to realize me, one has to engage in devotional service. And the Lord is saying, I'll explain to you all the necessary paraphernalia around this, so that you are very clear and you are able to take to this process very carefully. And then the Lord tells him that this knowledge or this jnana comes from the scriptures, whereas vijnana or realization can come only by my grace. And my grace is given only to that person who sincerely endeavors in devotional life. So jnana comes from scripture, vijnana comes from the mercy of the Lord. Realization comes with the mercy. And that mercy is based upon the soul's seriousness in his or her journey towards self-realization. So let's come to text 33 in front of you now. Text 33 is, Aham evasam evagre nanyat yat tad atasvaram paschat aham yat etascha yo vashishyeta so asmi aham. Translation: Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So the Lord is explaining here, he is giving the true knowledge of himself as the absolute truth, which is what some of us saw in the Bhagavatam study group in 1.1.1, that the Lord Krishna is the absolute truth. So here Lord Krishna is emphasizing that I am the absolute truth. From me, everything has come. Very similar to Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Matta Sarva Pravartate, which is one Rasa Shloki of the Bhagavad Gita. Like that. So here we see that analogy. And here, the Lord has mentioned the word Aham thrice. You see. Read the verse again. Aham evasam evagre, nanya sat asatparam, paschat aham yat etascha, yo vashiteta so asmi aham. So thrice the word aham. Why is he emphasizing this word thrice? It is to tell the Mayavadi that everything has not just come by some impersonal energy, or everything has not just manifested from matter. Matter has not come from matter. So Lord is clearly telling. That's why he is mentioning in the translation, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this material creation. That material nature itself was not there. Which means the Lord is saying that don't think that everything has simply come from Mahatattva or Pradhana. It is I who has first created the Pradhana and Mahatattva. Okay. For example, if I were to make idli and invite someone and give idli, okay, I was able to make that idli only because my wife had made the idli batter. Otherwise, there is no question of me going to make the idli batter. Of course, I don't even know how to convert to make idli from idli batter. That's a different thing. So the Lord is telling clearly here that don't think that everything has just come because of some random event like a big bang thing. Some elements were there and then they came together, there was a big bang and then everything was, suddenly the universe started manifesting. The question is, where did those original ingredients come from? And where was the ignition, where did the fire come from for big bang? So nobody asks that. So here the Lord is very clearly giving that. He is dispelling those myths of science, material science. So he's saying that before creation I was there, now what you're seeing is me, and after annihilation also it will be me. This also defeats the Brahmavadis, because the Brahmavadis say that everything is Brahman, you are Brahman, I am Brahman, right? And everything has come from Brahman. Whereas the Lord is clearly saying here that I am the source of everything. So the Lord is also the source of Brahman. Nothing was there, even Brahman was not there before the Lord. It was the Lord as a person who was there. And then the effulgence coming with from his body is Brahman. In that sense, Brahman was always there because the Lord was always there. The Lord was always effulgence. But the Lord is not because of Brahman. Brahman is because of the Lord. So that is the first understanding. Number two, the second verse of the Chatushloki. Rite ritam yat pratiyeta, na pratiyeta cha atmani, tat vidyad atmanomayam, yatha bhasho, yatha samaha. Here the Lord is explaining a second Chatushloki. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, it has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Very, very important verse. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it's not in relation to me, know it as illusory. So the Lord is saying here that because He is the absolute truth, anything that appears separately from Him is only illusion. That's why He uses the word tad vidyat atmano mayam. Okay? If we think anything is separate from Him, that is mayam or maya. So here the Lord is explaining that don't think that you people are also independent of me. By this, He's saying don't see your identity as independent of me. Right? So the Lord is explaining that the jivas are also, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the jivas are nothing but infinitesimal part and parcel of the Lord and not independent of the Supreme. So if the jiva thinks that he is independent of the Supreme, then that is called an illusion. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is with relation to me, because all of us think that we are the most valuable, right? So whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, it has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So what is this knowledge? That who am I? Where did I come from? And what is my relation to the Supreme? This is called Sambandha Gyan. So therefore it is mentioned that verses 1 and verses 2, rather verses 33 and verses 34 together, the Lord is explaining Sambandha Gyan. He is establishing Himself as the Supreme. And then says that everything has come from me, and also says that you have also come from me, you are the jiva, and therefore we have eternal relationship or sambandha. That relationship is eternal, and therefore you are not independent of. And if you see that, see it as anything, not the material creation for that matter. The Lord is not only talking about spirit, He is also talking about matter. Even if you see matter as having no connection with Krishna, then that is also called as illusion. So He gives the sambandha gyan here. There's an interesting translation. Know it as my illusion energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So Prabhupada explains that that darkness itself cannot exist without the concept of light. Okay. For example, a shadow is dark, but the very fact that the shadow is there means that there has to be light somewhere. Otherwise, where will the shadow come from? So Prabhupada writes this in the purport. And Prabhupada says, one should therefore go and take shelter of the original sun. Otherwise, you know, we'll be just bewildered by the darkness. One should seek out where this darkness also is coming from. It's coming from the sun. The shadow is also coming from the sun. For example, if, again, this example is also given there, that the sun may have reflection on in the water. But can you now channelize the reflection of that sun? From there, can you derive solar energy? Not possible. Right? That is also very effulgent. The reflection also is very effulgent. If you look in the water, then you say, oh my god, I can't see the sun. But you can't channelize that for solar energy. You have to go and allude to the original sun. And then, that original sun, Prabhupada says, is how do the solar, these people who tap the solar energy, how do they get the solar energy to work, working? They have a layer in between, which takes the heat from the sun and then translates to solar energy. That layer is the Guru for us. So the Guru is the representative of Krishna. He has received this transcendental knowledge from the Lord, and through him, then so he is an intermediary between us and Krishna. So here the Lord is very clearly establishing that the devotee is part and parcel of himself and that he is the supreme. He also distinguishes here very clearly the difference between spirit and matter. This knowledge is called as Sankhya Yoga, the difference between spirit and matter, which is also explained in third canto by Lord Kapila. The reason why this is required is if we do not understand this Samasa Jnana, then we will always be attracted by the material energy of the Lord. Because we wouldn't know what is the source of this energy. And we will never be attracted to the person who is the source. Rather, we will be only attracted to the material energy, which is the effect. So this knowledge is needed for cultivating detachment as well as for getting liberation. The third verse of the Chatushloki:
Yatha mahanti bhutani, bhuteshu chavacheshvanu, pravishthani apravishthani, tatateshu na teshvaham. In this verse, Lord says, O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time
do not enter into the cosmos. The Lord himself is contradicting his statement.
Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything.
So the Lord is within as well as without, outside.
This knowledge is what is called as the sarahasyam. And this is what is called as the prayojana or the goal. We talked about sambandha, abhideya and prayojana. In the first two verses, the Lord established sambandha jnana. In this verse, he is establishing the prayojana jnana, the goal. Now you may ask, how? Right? Because the verse says, please know that I am inside and outside. So how is it talking about the goal? That confusion may come. Let's discuss that. Here the Lord is talking about the achintya shakti, his achintya shakti, which cannot be understood. How he is inside as well as outside. But obviously we are not going to stop at that. Thankfully Gurujan Prabhu has given more purpose in unveiling the lotus feet for our understanding. So here it is mentioned that the Lord is hinting at prema bhakti. Only a person who is in the stage of prema bhakti can understand this specific verse of the Lord. Why? Because only a person in prema bhakti is able to see the Lord everywhere, outside, inside, everywhere. So how do we understand it? For the benefit of us also, some examples are given. That this verse basically says that the Lord is inside of everything through his energy as Paramatma or Garbhodakshayati or Sirodakshayati. As all of you know, Mahavishnu is there in the spiritual world. Then there is the Pradhana and Mahatattva, the original cosmic elements. Mahavishnu glances at this Pradhana and Mahatattva and then he activates this Pradhana and then it's called Mahatattva. And all those ingredients are there now for creation. Then the Lord personally enters each and every material universe and lays down in the water as Garbhodakshayati. Most of you know this, so I am not getting into details. Then this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu manifests Lord Brahma. And then along with Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva is also manifested and the Lord enters as Sirodakshaya Vishnu. So in that sense, the Brahma Vishnu Mahesh, the Trinity is there. And that Vishnu is called as Sirodakshaya Vishnu. That Sirodakshaya Vishnu is also entering into each one of us as the Paramatma or the Super Soul. So he is outside as well as he is inside us. Right? Now that is about spirit. What about matter? In third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that Tirotakshaya Vishnu not only enters into spirit as Paramatma, he enters into each and every atomic particle. So the Lord is present in every atomic particle here. Whatever you see, this wall, no wonder then Prahlad Maharaj confidently answered, is your Lord inside this wall? He said, yes, he is there. And then Hiranyakashipu came out from there. So a realized person says with confidence, if some burglar come to my house and then keep a gun here and then ask me, is the Lord here? I'm asking for it. Yeah, I do puja and but I'm not really sure. But not be from if you are there. That is called a lack of faith. But Prahlad Maharaj not only studied this verse, he had faith in this verse. So he confidently said, yeah, he's there in the verse. Because Bhagavatam is real. Sometimes even after years in devotion, full faith does not come. It is a little bit we hold back. Like that. So here, the Lord is mentioning that I am inside everything and I am outside everything, all that is given here. Okay. Then the higher understanding of this is given that the Lord, though he is here as Paramatma and entering every atom, but he is not only inside the material world, he is outside the material world in a world called the spiritual world. And there is a place called as Goloka Vrindavan. And the Lord ultimately is there outside of all this. And what he is doing is, although this creation, maintenance, destruction, everything is going on, the absolute truth is what? That he is a cowherd boy, enjoying with his girlfriends in Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis. That is the highest understanding of absolute truth. So the Lord is inside, outside. Inside of the material world, as well as outside the material world. Within the material world, the Lord is inside the spirit, as well as inside matter, but still he is outside of the world of Krishna. So all that is given here in this verse. Text number 35. This also defeats the Paramatmavadi. Because the Paramatmavadi says, Lord is only inside. Sometimes, when we ask people, why don't you come to the temple? When we ask people, they say what?
The Lord is inside the heart. Why I need to come to the temple?
I always carry the Lord inside the heart. That's why they say. And they'll never come to the temple, they'll never stand. But they'll give this argument to us. So therefore, for them, we should tell this verse. That Lord is Pravishthani or Pravishthani. He is inside as well as he is outside. So please come to the temple. We agree he is inside your heart, but he is outside also. Why not to come and see him in the temple? So this knowledge that the Lord is outside the material world and he is residing the spiritual world as a cowherd boy and playing his flute is called as the prayojana. That is the goal. The whole goal of devotion is to attain that love for that absolute truth and go and reside there with him. That is why the first two verses give the sambandha gyan and the third verse gives the prayojana gyan. So verses 33-34 talk about sambandha, verse 35 talks about prayojana or the goal. Now, this goal is not easy. There is a process behind this and that is explained in the next verse, which is etavat eva jigyasyam tattva jigyasuna atmanah anvaya vritti rekabhyam yas tat sarvatra sarvada. The translation: a person who is searching after this supreme absolute truth. Now we have already defined the prayojana. So he is saying the person who is searching after this supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. This is a very important verse to understand because the whole process of devotional life starts with this verse. Whatever chanting, four regulative principles, everything comes from this verse. Right? Let's read that again. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly searches for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. This is called as the tad angam. Tad angam means the process. Angam means what? The various limbs. That is called as ang. In Hindi also, ang means what? The various parts of the body. So tad angam is various limbs of devotional service. So this verse talks about the Navaveda Bhakti, the nine processes of devotional service. Okay. Now you may wonder, why is the word directly and indirectly is used? Right? They say the person who tries this tries directly as well as indirectly for this absolute truth. So Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely that directly, that if you, okay, All of you know the words about surrender, right? In Nectar of Devotion. Anukulyasa Sankalpa, Pratikulyasa Varjanam, right? These two things are given. The definition of surrender. Anukulyasa Sankalpa means what? Following all those things which are conducive to devotional service. And Pratikulyasa Varjanam means what? Avoiding all those things which are not conducive to devotional service. So both are given by Rupa Goswami. Now why Rupa Goswami gave both this? Why he only did not say that, no, do devotional service? That is because of this verse. This verse says that the soul must follow the direct process as well as the indirect process. Okay. But on maturity, the soul only follows the direct process. When the devotional life is very ripe, then you don't have to worry about the indirect process. Because you will never fall trapped to the indirect, to the dangers posed by the indirect process. So here it is mentioned that directly means anukulesa sankalpa and indirectly means pratikulesa varjana. That's why directly and indirectly. So, the direct process is what Sri Srila Prabhupada has given us. It is chanting the holy name. 16 rounds Prabhupada has given us the direct process. And the indirect is what? Following the four regulative principles. Which means no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Okay. If we do either of this, we cannot go back. We should do both the direct as well as the indirect process. If we chant, but if we continue to eat meat or have illicit sex, then that itself becomes a nama aparadha. And then, if we only follow all the four regulative principles, we don't chant, we will just remain in the platform of goodness and attain the heavenly planet. But we cannot go out of the material world onto the spiritual world. Okay. So therefore, directly as well as indirectly. There is another meaning to this directly and indirectly, which is that the Lord directly, what is the Lord? The Lord has got two dimensions, which Srila Prabhupada gives in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. The very first line in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, which we have, some of us have studied in the class, Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam class, that it is mentioned that the supreme, that the concept of God and the concept of absolute truth are not on the same level. Srila Prabhupada starts the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam with this one line. God and absolute truth are not on the same level. So this talks about that, direct and indirect. Why? Because Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the absolute truth. He is responsible for creation, sustenance and destruction. But at the same time, he has nothing to do with creation, sustenance and destruction because he executes all this through Vasudeva future. So Lord Krishna has got nothing to do with it. He has lot of plenary portions and expansions which does all this work. Lord Krishna has only one job, enjoying in Golok Vrindavan with the gopis. There is nothing beyond that that he has to do. He doesn't have to work very hard. That's why he is called as the absolute truth. Right? So here it is mentioned that one should not even try to, initially one should approach the Lord directly and indirectly, there is no doubt. But later on, once love for Godhead has come, once one has become a devotee of Krishna, he does not any longer need to worship the other plenary or indirect forms of the Lord, plenary portions. As long as one is with Krishna and Goloka, that is the perfection of life. Everything is infinite. Okay. So, it is mentioned that indirect process is the plenary expansion of the Lord. And direct is direct worship of Shyam Sundar Krishna. 200 form of the Lord. Even the 400 form is called as indirect in relation to the 200 form of the Lord. Therefore, even Raghunath Das Goswami in his book Manas Shiksha, he writes, "My dear Lord, I pray to you that I do not think about the Narayana teacher of yours." He is actually praying like that. Raghunath Das Goswami. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We all know that. But still Raghunath Das Goswami is praying in that mood. Saying that, "I don't want to see your Narayana teacher. I don't want to do anything with it. I only want to see your 200 bending form with Radharani." That is the mood of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, which is Prema Bhakti. Right? So, but till we attain that Prema Bhakti, we have to understand that we cannot directly approach Lord Krishna, the Shyam Sundara form, through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. As long as we are in the Vaidhi Bhakti process, we are worshipping Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. But then, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha accepts our services in the feature of Lakshmi Narayana, as long as we are in Vaidhi Bhakti. Because the 200 form of Lord Krishna can only be approached by unalloyed devotion. There has to be no fear of rules and regulations there. That is called as the Raganuga Bhakti. So both directly as well as indirectly. Yat chat sarvatra sarvatra. Anvaya Vrithi Rekabhyam. Anvaya means direct and Vrithi Rekabhyam means indirectly. So these verses, and also in Gopal Tapani Upanishad,
There is an interesting quotation which is given. It is said, Gopa Vesho me Purusha Purushata, which means the Lord appeared before Brahma as a cowherd boy, the original personality of Godhead. This verse is substantiated in the Gopal Upanishad. The absolute truth is Lord Krishna, two-handed bending palm. And also in Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned, Chintamani Prakara Padmashu Kalpa Vruksha, Raksha Viteshu Suravi Ravi Palayanta, Lakshmi Sahasra Atatam Brahma Sevyamana, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Which means what? That the supreme absolute truth, which Lord Brahma is seeing, Lord Krishna is showing the whole, Gola Vrindavan, and that is when the Brahma Samhita is being composed. You think the Lord is in the habit of keeping cows, he is enjoying with the gopis, he is having a lot of gopas also with whom he is playing, goddess of fortune is serving him. So all these things are mentioned there. The absolute truth is clearly defined and substantiated like that. So there is no need of going into the plenary portions. So how do we now adopt this tadhyangam? This tadhyangam is the abhideya. Okay, we talked about the first two verses giving sambandha gyan, the third verse giving the prayojana. The last verse, the tadangam, is the abhideya, the process. That's why these are the original four verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chatushloki. So, we'll just sum up our discussion. We'll end our discussion today by talking about our journey in this tadangam. How does one take to the process and attain this ecstatic thing? Because we have left somewhere this verse behind slightly. So let's try and come back to this verse and how all this is. How the soul journeys from a conditioned soul to attain this stage of ecstatic symptoms. So this is mentioned in Madhurya Kadambini. It's here. This is the book, Madhurya Kadambini. Anyone wants to read? Here, all the obstacles to achieving these ecstatic symptoms are mentioned. And how Tadangam, or the limbs of devotion, can actually take the soul from the conditioned stage, the neophyte stage, to this stage. So as most of you know, that bhakti starts with shraddha or faith. With faith, someone starts coming to the temple and then they meet Kripa Sindhu Prabhu here. So with shraddha, just someone has to come with little shraddha, that's all. Net is there. So the person then starts slowly coming and associating with devotee, which is the second stage. That is called as sadhu sangha. Shraddha, sadhu sangha. Association with devotee. And after associating with devotees, first initial 2 days we just give prasadam, everything is nice. After that the hard part comes. They get a bead in their hand. Which is called as the bhajanakriya, the third stage. Shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajanakriya. Now, despite following these processes, people struggle to attain the fourth stage, which is called as anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means removal of all the unwanted impurities within the heart. So Madhurya Kadambini talks about various anarthas that a devotee goes through at the initial stages. So first one they say is the devotee has false confidence, or it is called as utsahami. Okay. So just like a child has learned to speak, very new, and then the child thinks that it is saying poetry. So similarly, when a person is very new coming to devotional service and has learnt the ABC, he thinks that he has mastered everything. That thought comes, and initially we become a little bit egoistic, and then after that then we get the stick on our head. So that is false confidence. Then the person goes to sporadic endeavor, which is called as ghanatara. Sometimes chanting, 4 rounds, sometimes 16, sometimes 32, coming back to 2 rounds, going to Bombay or India, stopping to chant, okay, because parents pressure, this pressure, that pressure, again coming back, again starting, So this is called as ghanatara, sporadic endeavor, there is no consistency. Then there is indecision, view the vikalpa. Prabhuji, should I marry or should I not marry Prabhu? Should I join the ashram or should I take other life? This is called as indecision. So devotees go through this. Should I accept corporate life, high profile career, or should I just take a small job wherein I can do devotion? I'm not able to adjust. Should I go more? Should I balance my material? How do I balance my material and spiritual life? Common question. Right? So this is called as indecision. We struggle with this. And then there is also the struggle with the senses, which is called as Vishaya Sangara. Sometimes we are able to, it is said, Atyahara Prayasascha. So we decide, yes, I know the philosophy, Atyahara, I should not eat too much, I should eat moderate. Prabhuji, today is Govardhan. So struggle with the senses. How do I moderate? Because chocolate is also there, Kaju Katli is there, Badam Halwa is there.
what to eat. So grab as much as possible. Instead of going, where, take this, drink water. This is called as struggle with the senses. Vishaya Sangara. Then, inability to uphold the vows which we take, which is called as Niyamakshama. Even after initiation, sometimes struggling with the vows. Enjoying, the fifth one is enjoying the facilities offered by bhakti. Tarangarangini. Prabhuji, what a preacher you are. Solid, huh? Really, because so many people, Prabhu, because of you only they have. Mataji, because of you, so many people have become devotees. Oh, is it? Yeah, I must be somebody really important. People struggle with these senses. Struggle with these senses. This is the problem. You think that, yeah, at the end of the day, everybody is becoming devotee because of me. It's fine. Like that. So that is called as tarangarangini. So these are all anarthas. These are all coming from the desire for self-enjoyment or called as bhakti. So we cannot stay within this zone and have these kind of ecstatic symptoms. Not possible. Even if one manages to come out of these things, still there is one more last snare of maya, Prabhupada says. That is called as the desire to become God. The desire to merge into the effulgence. The desire to think that I am God. That is called as mukti or liberation. Or simply the desire to get out of the material world, to get out of these births, this is old age. That's all. Some people only have that birth and merge into the Brahman. It is mentioned in Madhurya Kadamini that the desire for mukti is also an anartha, which is coming out of past pious activities. So therefore, be careful of performing pious activities. It is mentioned in the third chapter in Madhurya Kadamini that pious activities give the desire for bhakti as well as mukti. Therefore, in Isopanishad, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that one should always act on the platform of akarma, not acting on the platform of karma or acting on the platform of vikarma, because that generates these anarthas of bhakti and mukti. And it is mentioned this unsteady stage, like we talked about Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. This Bhajana Kriya has got two different aspects. One is the unsteady Bhajana, which we talked about now. No consistency. Okay. And then going from the unsteady stage to the Anartha Nivritti stage, removal of impurities, and then getting fixed Nishtha, consistent level. So there are three verses which come in sequence in the very first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives this sequence. Okay. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridayanta Stohi Abadrani, Vidunoti Suvarasatam. The first of those three verses. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. So here, the Lord is saying that if you do Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, if you continuously hearing the Katha of Lord Krishna, what happens? All that is unwanted, impurities within the heart. Hridayanta Stohi Abadrani. Whatever is inside, impure things are sitting, Vidunoti Suvarasatam. All that is completely. It is destroyed, not completely destroyed. All that is destroyed. Almost destroyed. The Lord uses the word almost destroyed. Okay. And then, the next verse says, Nashta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavatya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti is Bhavati Naishtiki. Here also, it is said that everything, all your anarthas are almost destroyed and bhakti is irrevocable. Established as an irrevocable fact. So it talks about the various stages, from Anishtata Bhakti to the Anartha Nivritti, now coming to the Nishtha platform. Okay. And when how does one come to the Nishtha platform? That is mentioned in the third verse. Tada Raja Samo Bhava Kama Lobha Dayache Cheta Ete Ranavidam Sitam Sattve Prasiddhati. So here it is mentioned that as soon as irrevocable loving service is established, because the earlier verse says it is established as irrevocable fact. So this verse takes on from that. Says as soon as irrevocable devotional service is there, only then a person immediately gets out of Tada Raja Samobhava. It gets out of the soul gets out of Raja Bhava as well as Samobhava. The mode of passion, the mode of goodness is forever, the mode of ignorance is forever gone for such a devotee. So the essence of all these three verses is that one goes from an unsteady bhakti to a stage of impurity, removal of impurity. And by the interaction of both this, one comes to the process of steady bhakti, which is called as nishtha. Okay? So nishtha means that a devotee is consistent in his bhakti. And after nishtha, one gets what is called as taste. Unless we are consistent in devotional service, we will not get taste for devotional service. And that stage is called as the ruchi stage, or the taste. Now, Prabhupada explains that what is the difference between the taste stage and the consistent stage. Prabhupada says that in the consistent stage, as long as we are in the nishtha stage, still devotional life is a burden for us. Chanting 16 rounds is still a burden. We don't have taste. We do it forcefully, out of fear or out of respect for our spiritual master. Okay, I have taken a vow, therefore I have to do, otherwise I will fall down. This is the thought till nishtha stage. But in the ruchi stage, one gets a taste. Srila Prabhupada gives the example here of sugar candy. Srila Prabhupada says sugar candy initially removes jaundice. But as long as you are jaundice, you don't get the taste for sugar candy. But sugar candy is the remedy for jaundice. So when jaundice goes away because of sugar candy, then one is able to get the taste of sugar candy. Because now the jaundice has gone. So one gets taste, and then one is always fixed in the bhakti. One always derives taste out of all the nine, never with the bhakti process. And also, how does one know that one has got this taste? Prabhupada, in Madhura Kadamani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that one knows it because one is now not dependent on the excellence of elements. Which means, it is not that, you know, sometimes you say, who is singing kirtan today or who is giving lecture today, and depending on that we decide whether to sit in the Bhagavatam class or to get out of the Bhagavatam class. Right? Or whether to sit in the kirtan or whether to not sit in the kirtan. Okay, that is called as the state which is dependent on the excellence of elements. Okay. So, ruchi has got two stages. One is when the devotee is analyzing all this and then deciding whether I should do or not. Other one is, even if a donkey is singing the kirtan and it sounds horrible, still it is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, therefore the devotee becomes ecstatic. Whoever is singing, whoever is giving class, I will still come and attend. That is the stage, second stage of taste or ruchi. Then the next stage is asakti. Once one crosses that stage, one comes to attachment or absorption, automatic absorption in the Lord. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says, one does not know how and when one's mind withdraws from matter and gets absorbed in Krishna. This is very important to understand. One does not know how automatically Krishna's thought is coming to me. That one is not able to understand. Even when one is in office or doing some work, automatically the mind is getting out of that and thinking about Krishna. Whereas for the conditioned soul, it is exactly the opposite. Prabhu, I was sitting in Bhagavatam class, I don't know when I switched off and then I went to Bhagavatam. It's exactly the opposite, right? So this is asakti or attachment, the reverse. And at this stage, a devotee, it is mentioned, intuitively interprets even the natural movements of animals and birds as a sign of the Lord's favor or disfavor with him. You know, in college, you know, in our teenage days, we had this, no? She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. So if it ends on this finger, that means she loves me. If it ends on this finger, you know, then I'll go again. Right? So we don't want to accept. So here a similar thing is mentioned, but this is not that mundane thing. This is a devotee intuitively interprets the natural movement of animals and birds as a sign of God. So whatever a devotee sees, he thinks, okay, this beautiful deer has come. Now if it comes here, that means I have Krishna's favor. If it goes away from me, that means Krishna is upset with me today. So devotee sees everything, Shastra Chakshu, seeing everything which is happening around him as if the Lord is favoring or not favoring. That is called as the asakti or the attachment stage. And then the second last stage of bhakti, which is called as the bhava stage, also called as the rati. Now one, when the bhava or rati means that asakti, the taste, has reached its utmost maturity. And here the devotee comes on what is a platform called as Vishuddha Sattva platform. And herein, this is what Rupa Goswami mentioned in devotional, as the characteristics of devotional service as Sudurlabha and Moksha Laghutaka. This is rarely attained, this stage of bhava is very rarely attained, Sudurlabha. And at this stage, the devotee derides the concept of liberation. He says, I don't care for liberation because I am seeing the Lord everywhere. So where is the question of liberation? Even within the material world, with this material body, the devotee is totally unconscious of this material body. Only when we are conscious of this material body, will we be subjected, will we have consciousness of birth, disease, old age, death. But when I am seeing Krishna everywhere right now, then where is the question of material body? Aham mameti.
I am just his servant, and then Krishna is mine, he is always with me. So there is no question of this bewilderment. That is called as the moksha lagra. There is no question of liberation for such a devotee. He is already liberated. So when you tell him, you should seek liberation. And he says, what do you mean by liberation? I don't care. I am very happy right now. Even in the material world, the devotee is very happy, having attained the bhava stage. There, so devotee doesn't want to go anywhere. And this is the aham mamiti. And when one crosses this stage of bhava, then one comes to the stage of prema, which is the last stage of bhakti, which is called as love of Godhead. And when one comes to that stage of love of Godhead, then this verse makes sense to us, which is, having achieved love of Godhead, the devotee sometimes cries out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn supreme by acting out his pastime, and sometimes achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. So I will end this lecture here and leave all of you at peace. Any questions or comments? This is in this book, Madhurya Kalyan. I think we have some copies. Mm-hmm. Or if it's not there, then go to Google and search Madhurya Karani, you will get a soft copy of this book. Free. Any other questions or comments? Shantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki,
Jai
Shri Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaurakumar.